Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, here we are on Christmas Day 2019. Normally, on the Beacon broadcast, on Christmas Day, and often on some of the days leading up to Christmas, I will lay aside my normal Bible exposition and take a few days to turn to specific Christmas-type texts, the kind of texts that deal with the birth of Christ. But in the book of Malachi, our present study, we have actually come to a section that is talking about the coming of Messiah. It is a prophetic section. It is not talking about the birth of Christ in the sense of the virgin birth to Mary laid in a manger with Joseph and the shepherds nearby and so forth, the kind of thing we normally think of at Christmas time. But nevertheless, we are dealing with a text about the coming of Messiah. The coming of Christ, which, of course, took place on a particular day and time, which we now celebrate as Christmas Day, the birthday of Christ. So what we're looking at in Malachi is a little broader than that. We're not focusing upon a particular date when he was born, but we are focusing upon the prophecy concerning his coming. And so we will stay in Malachi, fully aware that some of you are listening to the Beacon broadcast out of the ordinary schedule since you're on a holiday. And you may be listening to it today and don't normally hear it because normally you're not able to because of your schedule. And others who would normally tune it in because you have it arranged in a good place in your daily schedule are probably not listening today because it is a holiday and you're off schedule, and I'm aware of all of that. But nevertheless, we're going to plunge ahead, and so we come back to Malachi chapter 3. Oh, I should welcome you to the Beacon broadcast on this December 25, and thank those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to do this, because we really couldn't without the help of our radio listeners, and to encourage you to consider a special year-end gift for the Beacon broadcast. Would you pray about it? We appreciate your consideration. Okay, back to Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And that, of course, is speaking of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the preparatory messenger. And then we read, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." And that's speaking of Jesus Christ. He wasn't known by the name Jesus, but he was understood to be the Christ, the Messiah. And they were looking for him. He'd been prophesied by many of the Old Testament prophets. And sure enough, the last Old Testament prophet, unless you count John the Baptist as an Old Testament prophet, and that's another subject for another day. But the last Old Testament prophet, Malachi, also talks about the coming of Messiah. And he calls him, "The Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So Malachi is making reference to the fact that the people of Israel, to whom he is prophesying, were looking forward to the promised Messiah. They were looking forward to him with delight. They were looking forward to him as something that would be a wonderful, positive experience for them. But that's not what most of them are going to experience, we read as we go on in verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Stop there. Yes, Messiah is coming, but it's not going to be as delightful as you think it will be. You hear the prophecies about the coming Messiah, and you say, that's wonderful. I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait for Messiah to come and to reign upon the throne of David. I can't wait for Messiah to come and to bless the nation of Israel. I can't wait for Messiah to come. He is the one in whom you delight, according to verse 1. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but, as verse 2 goes on to say, not many people are going to be able to endure the day of his coming, because he comes to judge. And he will judge his people when he comes. And he also comes to purify. He will purify his people when he comes. And we have learned, therefore, that Messiah will be a judge to some people. In other words, will pronounce them guilty and will pronounce severe judgment upon them because of their guilt and their lack of repentance in spite of their guilt, which has been pointed out to them, which is exactly what Malachi, the prophet, is doing in this book. That's what he's been sent to do, is to call the nation of Israel's sins to their attention so that they can acknowledge them and repent from them and be able to receive the Messiah as an agent of blessing. But of course, if they will not acknowledge their sins and repent, then when Messiah comes, he comes as an agent of judgment. So for some, he's coming as an agent of judgment. For others, he's coming as an agent of purifying. And that's a different kind of judgment. Sometimes we call that chastening or discipline. But it sure feels like judgment when it's happening, but he's going to come like a refiner would do when he melts down his gold ore in the pot and he separates the dross from the gold. And that's a very painful process, but in the end, he removes the dross and he brings forth the gold, and it's a purifying process. And for some of God's people, that's what the coming of Messiah is going to be like. He's going to deal with your sins. He's going to separate your sins from your life. You are going to acknowledge your sins and repent of your sins and come forth purified. So for some, Messiah comes to judge. For others, Messiah comes to purify. Now, here's the question, and the one we're going to deal with in the minutes that remain today. When Messiah comes to judge and to purify, should we understand this in terms of the first coming of Christ or the second coming of Christ? And it has been customary for Bible students to say that when you find prophetic references in the Old Testament to the coming of Christ to judge, that's the second coming. When you find prophetic references of the coming of Christ to redeem and to save. That's the first coming. And the Old Testament prophets weren't able to distinguish between the two comings of Christ, but we can now distinguish between them. And so most or many Bible students would put the verses I just read in Malachi 3, 1 through 5 into the category of the second coming. When he comes the second time, he comes to judge and to purify. But I'm not sure that that's exactly the case. Even though it is true that Old Testament prophecies often combine the two events, the first and the second coming, as one, and even though the first coming of Christ did not involve conspicuous judgment in the same way that the second coming will, it is not true that the first coming of Christ was entirely a coming in mercy and without purifying, without judgment. All you have to do is read carefully the gospel accounts of the ministry of Christ, and you'll realize he came with scathing judgment upon many of the people. Read his denunciation of the Pharisees, how he called them out, how he exposed their sin, how he called down judgment upon them. And so I don't know that it's fair, or accurate might be a better way to put it, I don't know that it's accurate to assume that this prophecy in Malachi chapter 3, or every prophecy, or any prophecy that deals with Messiah coming in judgment, should be assigned to the second coming. There's a sense in which he did a good deal of this in his first coming. John the Baptist said he would. He said, the one that I'm the forerunner of, when he comes, he will come with his winnowing fan in his hand. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to come to lay his axe at the root of the tree. When you lay your axe at the root of the tree, what are you doing? You're chopping it down. You are destroying that tree because it was not fruitful. It's not producing as it's supposed to. And so you chop it down and get rid of it. Get it out of the way. And that's spoken of by John the Baptist as what the Christ will do when he comes. The forerunner says, the one that I'm speaking of, the one that I'm the forerunner of, is going to do these things. I have come to prepare the way for his coming, to level the road so that he can come. And when he comes, there is going to be a judging aspect in his coming. And the truth is that this passage in Malachi speaks of both mercy and judgment. And I think it is possible, accurately, to combine both of these in the first coming. Some New Testament text assign judgment to the first coming. Read Luke 2:34 and Matthew 3:9-12 and John 9:39. And some New Testament texts connect Levi and righteousness and offerings to the first coming. Read Acts 6:7 and 1 Peter 2:4-5. And you will come to the conclusion that we are not forced to apply all judgment passages to the second coming, and we should consider what is said here in the light of the first coming. I'm not saying that the second coming may not display some of these same characteristics. I'm not saying that the second coming may not also fulfill some of the things that are said here. But I'm just suggesting that we shouldn't funnel it all into the second coming as if there's nothing here for us in the first coming of Christ, because I'm quite convinced that there is. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.